so weird being up here.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. For those that don't know me, I'm just going to repeat my name. I'm Semi Lee, and I am one of the leaders here at New Philly Sydney. And I'm also part of the Korea Punch team that was asked to move here about a few months ago. Oh, wow, okay, now you can hear me. And just a little bit of a backstory on me, okay? So when I had made this commitment to come to Sydney, I told God there was just one thing I really, really didn't want to do, and that was preaching, which is what I'm doing right now. And naturally, I don't like public speaking. All the eyes make me feel a little funny, but yeah, God has a sense of humor like that. So, but in my head, I was thinking, oh, I never took a preaching class. You know, I have no preaching experience. Pastor Christian will not make me preach. I'm sure of it. But I think the first or second week I flew in to Sydney, I accidentally found out that I was going to be preaching in June. And the first thought that came to my head was, oh, that must be a mistake. Oh, that's not right. It must be a misspelling or something. But one of my friends in Korea, she confirmed it. And then I was thinking in my head, I was like, let me take you through the journey of my train of thoughts here. Okay, first I was, why me? Why me? I don't understand. Why? Why? You know I hate public speaking. You know that this is the one thing I told you that I didn't want to do. Why me? And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. You can't make me do anything, so I'm not going to do it. Oh no, I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to do it. And I told God that his sense of humor was pretty lame. And so pretty much my response was a little bit childish, but I like to keep it real with God. And I will tell you, though, immediately after that train of thought, God reminded me of a sermon that Pastor Marcus had preached literally the day before I left for Sydney. And it was titled, Why Not Me? And pretty much in the sermon, what Pastor Marcus does is he takes some of the stories in the Bible and he takes their responses when God calls people, the people of God, to do something new, do something out of their comfort zone or, you know, challenge them. If your first response is, why me? Then it generally indicates fear, insecurity, or some form of lack of trust in the Lord. And so I checked off on all three of those. And I was like, okay, heart check. All right, got it. And I felt like God was telling me, hey, Semi, why not you? Like, you're my daughter. I've shared life with you. There are stories that you have to share with other people. You know, so why not you? And so that kind of snapped me out of my insecurity. And this is like my mini shout out to Pastor Marcus for that word of encouragement. And so with that said, I am very blessed and honored to be standing here today to give you guys the word of God and to share some of the things that God has shared with me. And so being me, when I found out 3 months ago that I had to preach, I pretty much started digging right away. Okay, God, what do you want to say? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? And I kept digging, and then one of my pastors and good friends back in Korea, he said, Pastor John Michael, he said, preach on something you're comfortable with, something that you know really well. And so I started throwing out some ideas with God, and I was like, what about this? What about that? Should I just share my testimony? And eventually we decided to settle on something that I call meaningful learning. Okay. Now, what I mean by meaningful learning is, this is going to sound really obvious, but it's learning that means something to you. And it's learning that is memorable for you. It is learning that actually changes and transforms you, right? Meaningful learning. And so before I go any further, I'm going to ask you guys to just think in your head for a few seconds, minutes, okay? Probably seconds. Think about some of the ways God has taught you lessons in your lifetime, okay? Like, think about how God has spoken to you. Think about how God teaches you things. Just going to give, 7 seconds. Until it gets really awkward. All right. Did anyone write or think of audible voice of God? Anybody? That's okay. I never got that one either. What about this one? What about the Bible? Does anyone have the Bible? Like, does God teach you through the Bible? You can raise your hand. We're going to make it a little bit more interactive. Okay. All right. So actually, this is where I do want to start, okay, because this is really important. The Bible, the Word of God. God teaches us through His Word. Okay? And now I want everyone to please turn to the book of John, chapters 1, verse 1 with me. Okay? All right. And one random fact about this verse. I like this verse a lot because in most of the major versions, like NASB, NLT, and King James Version and stuff, the wording of this verse actually doesn't change. So whichever version you have, unless you have the Message, that's a little bit different. But whenever you're ready, we're going to read this together in 3, 2, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's it. Amen. All right. All right, so if you read this verse carefully, there's like a progression, and pretty much at the end of it, it is saying that the Word was God, okay? I'm not saying that the Bible is God, not this physical book, but the words in it, they all belong to our Father, God, okay? He wrote these words, He said these words, He spoke it and gave it life, and so this is where all of our teachings come from, okay? The Word of God, and it would be similar as if I were to write an autobiography and I wrote everything about myself, my life story, things like that. And pretty much that book, the words of that book, essentially is me, right? And so pretty much the words in this book are God, okay? And so that's where I wanted to start off from. I'm not going to be dissecting this verse for you guys, but what I will do is I just wanted to start with this because it is important. And, right. Okay, now, unfortunately, okay, what I do want to say is many of us, especially in this day and age, I feel like a lot of us have a hard time just reading the book and understanding things in it. Sometimes I can read this book over and over again, and it doesn't make sense to me. You know, I've been a Christian for like, what, 10 years now, maybe? And it, some of the parts still don't make sense to me. And one good news is that God is a very good teacher, okay? God's an excellent teacher, and I love to relate to God as a teacher because that's something that I'm passionate about and I'm comfortable talking about. And one thing I want to, like, kind of put out there is that in every school, we have something we call the curriculum, okay? Now, the curriculum, this is not a textbook, the curriculum, it's, I'm going to do teacher talking because I like teaching, okay? But the curriculum is a set of standards and goals that need to be met by each student so that by the end of each academic year, they are deemed, like, knowledgeable enough, mature enough, or skillful enough to go to the next level, right? And so the curriculum, it's not just the textbook. It is what defines what they have to learn. And so what I want to propose to you guys is that this is not a textbook. This is the curriculum. Okay, this is very important. Everything that God wants to teach you, it's in this book, okay? But, like I said, as a good teacher, one thing I know is I'm not going to take a book full of curriculum, toss it in front of a kid, and be like, okay, now you learn it. Go. Read it. Learn it all by yourself. Okay, and tell me what you learned from it. Okay, that's not what good teachers do. Let me tell you a few things that good teachers do. Okay, so one of the things that good teachers do is, one, we recognize that each of our students, they're all different. They're all unique, they're all different, and nobody knows that better than our God because He made us, right? And every one of His students, okay, they learn differently, okay? Even in my classroom, when I used to teach like 11 kids, almost all of my kids were different kinds of learners. Some of my kids were auditory learners, meaning if I were to read them a story, they would learn better than reading the story themselves, okay? Or we have the visual learners, the ones that always needed pictures and images and illustrations to understand what they were learning in a book, okay? And then you have, like, the kinesthetic learners. They have to touch everything in order to learn about the world around them. And then you also have the experiential learners. They just need to experience it for themselves. No matter how many times you say, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. They have to keep doing it and keep making mistakes for them to learn. And so we have different kinds of learners. And God knows that. So that's one thing good teachers do. We recognize that all of our students are different. Okay? The second thing good teachers do is that we set out every academic year to really know our students. Okay? We don't just want to know, like, how they're doing academically. We want to know who they are. We want to know what they like. We want to know how they learn so that we can teach them better. Okay? Third thing that good teachers do is that we will take the standards in this book, the confusing things in this book, and we will create lessons in a way that will make it more meaningful to every single student, okay, and to each person. And that's what good teachers do. And God is actually a very good teacher, and I can testify in my own life that he has been. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to elaborate a little bit, okay? The things that I'm about to talk to you guys about are it's something I learned in a Bible study like a few years back in New Philly. It was on the prophetic, and it was pretty much talking about the different facets of communication that God will use to talk to you, okay? So we have things like prayer, obviously. We have, you know, sometimes when you read the word, sometimes you just understand it. Sometimes we have prophecies. You know, you can be spoken through prophetic words. Sometimes we have dreams, we have visions, okay? There are situations that God will speak to us through, nature, other people, what else? Music, arts, etc. There are so many things how God will speak to you, right? And so, today, I'm not going to go through all of the different things, okay? I'm just going to go through some of the things that God has used in my life personally to speak to me and to teach me the lessons in this word and make it more meaningful to me. Okay? So, one strategy that God has used to make learning meaningful is something I like to call field trips. Okay? You guys might know field trips, or in Australia, do you guys call it excursions? Yeah, excursions. Excursions! Okay. Yeah, anyways. Excursions. So, God will take you on excursions. Okay? Now, I love field trips. And even as a teacher, I still loved field trips. When I was younger, when I was older, because you got to go get out of the classroom. You got to, like, experience things. You got to see things. You got to touch things. You got to, I don't know, you got to smell things, taste things. Yeah, everything. And you got to be out of the classroom actually experiencing it for yourself. And so, I may not remember the lessons in my class, but I'll remember my most memorable field trips. Okay? I remember one time when I went to the farm to learn about, what is it, farm life, how hard difficult farm life is. And I was like, oh, it can't be that hard. And I went, and I started milking a cow for like 2 minutes, and then I was like, oh, this is really exhausting. Yeah, I don't think I can do it, right? And so things like that, and then even my other one where I went on a two-day field trip, and what were we doing? We were just like exploring nature for the first time, and I was like running around, and I fell down on barnacles for the first time. I did not know what barnacles were until I went to that field trip. They're really sharp things that live on whales or on rocks, and I have scars in my knees and my arms, or like my hands, to prove it, you know? And those are very memorable for me, right? Those field trips, even though they were painful, yeah, they were memorable. And I just want to say that no matter how much you read about something in a book, sometimes it's just not the same as actually going out and seeing it for yourself, okay? It's not. And so, like, for example, like, some of the words that were kind of like, what does that mean? Like, in the word, I was like, Isaiah 6:3, the whole earth is full of your glory. Okay, I was like, okay, what does that mean? What does it look like, God? All right, that's great to read in the book, but what does that mean? Okay, or like the words in Psalm 104, the mountains rose, the valleys sank. Okay, you make the springs gush forth. Here is a sea great and wide, you know, which teems with like creatures innumerable. Like, I'm like, okay, that's great. But what does that look like? Okay, you know, and if I was stuck in a room and I never got out to actually see the creations that God has made, I would have probably never understood what this book was saying, okay? If I hadn't taken the time to, like, go up mountaintops in Korea, if I hadn't, like, walked through the valley of, like, fire in Nevada, you know, or if I hadn't snorkeled in, like, the beaches in, like, Thailand, if I hadn't, like, just stopped in the middle of the road on my way to Melbourne, like, to just look up at the stars, like, I wouldn't really understand what it means when God says the whole earth is full of his glory. You know, and when I started taking these field trips with God, I was like, oh my gosh, this is really exciting. I can see your creation. I see the things that you've made. And you're making this, the words here, more real for me. I understand it better now, right? And so that was one of the lighter ways that God likes to teach me. And another teaching strategy that God will use is something I like to call other experienced learners. Okay? Other experienced learners are pretty much everyone around you. Okay? These are all the people around you. Okay? And what I want to say that in every classroom, no matter how young or how old, okay, every single kid has an experience that is different from the friend next to them. Okay? And so in that way, they have something to share, they have something to teach, and you have something to get out of each person. And I'll just name a few, like preachers, prophets, peers, colleagues, friends, family, who else? Like even enemies. Okay? God's going to use all of these people to make learning meaningful for you. And so the first example I'm going to use is like preachers. How many of you guys actually learned more about this word or the words in this book because a preacher dissected it for you and just made it clear for you? Okay? Like, it's like you're struggling with a verse for so long, and then all of a sudden a preacher on that Sunday preaches on it, and all of a sudden it's like, ah, and everything makes sense, right? And I'm like, man, I can't tell you how many times that's happened for me, okay, where I've heard preachers take a word that I was so confused about, and through their own experiences, they were able to share what they learned with me, making that meaningful. Like just last week with Pastor Jamie's sermon on like 1 Samuel 15, I would have never seen Saul that way. I would have just thought, oh, he's just selfish, you know? But she said, what she discovered in her studies and her time with the Lord is that Saul was actually self-deceived. So deceived that his lies became truth, you know, and God started becoming a lie, right? And so pretty much I would have never taken that perspective on that story in 1 Samuel 15 if she didn't, like, expose that for me, okay? And even just what I shared earlier with Pastor Marcus, okay? Pastor Marcus, the sermon on, like, why not me? He took three familiar stories that I've known, like, pretty much all my life. You know, the story of Moses, the story of, like, Jeremiah, this young prophet, and a Samaritan woman. And then he took their responses of why me and exposed their insecurities out of it, okay? And I wouldn't have known that unless these other experienced learners kind of showed me, okay? And kind of helped me along the way, because sometimes the word doesn't make sense, right? And so that's why we have other experienced learners to help us. I also want to touch on the subject of learning from our enemies, though, okay? You also learn a lot from your enemies, okay? Whether you like it or not, you learn a lot from them. Now, this is a little bit sharing a part of my testimony, but there was one person I used to consider my enemy for a very, very long time, and this person was my father, okay? Now, my father, okay, and I, we just never got along, and I remember growing up and just being unable to love him, and it was probably because I didn't receive proper love from him. And but I do remember what I always did, though. As much as I didn't like him and as much as I couldn't love him, I still watched him very carefully. I watched him very closely, okay? A few of the things that I watched him do, okay? I watched him and his addiction to smoking and how detrimental it was, not just to his health, but actually to our family, okay? He was unwilling to give up something that he loved to do for the sake of our family, right? And I also saw how he got drunk almost week in and week out, okay, often leading to physical abuse of our family members. You know what, I also saw how he gambled. He loved gambling. And he gambled our entire life, our family life savings away in a matter of 2 weeks, okay, which caused my mom to slave away for years paying off his debt. And I also remember the pornography that he left on carelessly, which enslaved me to lust for years after that. You know, and I also saw the way that he just walked out of our family, and I was like, without a word, making me think that, oh, this is the best thing ever, but actually, in fact, something was missing inside, okay? And through these experiences, even through this person I considered my enemy, I learned a lot from him. One thing you always learn from your enemies is kind of like what not to do, okay? That's one thing I definitely learned from my dad. Everything that he did, I did not want to do because I saw the effects of what those things could do to the people around you and the people that you love, okay? And the other thing I learned is I learned why the Bible actually tells me to stay away from drunkenness, to stay away from sexual immorality, and to stay from to not let anything master you, like addictions. You know, I understand that now much better. If I didn't have those experiences, I don't know what that verse in the Bible would have looked like for me now. Okay? And so even through the good and the bad, the people in your life, whatever experiences that you're having with other learners, I think God still chooses to speak to you and teach you more about His Word through all of that. Yeah. And so now I'm going to move on to my favorite teaching strategy. Okay. This is something, it's called the arts. Okay. And this is something teachers love to use in their classroom. Okay. And this is something I also personally love to use in my classroom. Okay. Now the arts includes, but it's not limited to, it's like photography, illustration, movies, music, and what else is there? Like spoken word, poems. Okay. All these different things. Okay. And God will use all of these different methods to make learning meaningful to you guys. So I'm not going to go through all of the examples that I shared with you, but just two that were very, very meaningful. For one, the first example I want to start off is with a skit, okay? Now I'm not going to do the skit, okay? I was actually going to show it to you guys, but I'm not going to do the skit. It's very long and emotional. But the skit is called Everything. Some of you guys may or may not know it, but for those that don't know, I'm just going to quickly explain to you what the skit is about. Okay, the skit, it starts off with God creating a girl, okay? And that girl represents all of us, okay? And pretty much, He creates her, He makes her, and He just starts showing her the things around her. Like, look at what I made, look at this, okay? Try this and try that. And they're just having this wonderful, blissful time together until one day, sin comes in and enters the picture and whisks the girl away from God and starts pulling her into sin. Starts pulling her into the different types of sin, like lust and greed, self-image issues, and all these other things. And pretty much she's pulled away from God. And towards the end of the skit, she is at a point of hopelessness. Okay, she's pretty much on her knees. And she has a gun to her head. This is a skit. She has a gun to her head. And pretty much she's about to kill herself because she's at the end of her line. She's like, she's lost hope. There's nothing more for her in this life. But then on the side, you see Jesus. Jesus is dying on the cross. And as He dies on the cross, all of a sudden, it's like that girl, like a veil is torn. She puts the gun down and she starts running back to Jesus. Okay. And all that while, sin is pushing her back, constantly beating her down, preventing her from getting back to Jesus. And, but of course, Jesus comes to the rescue. He swoops in, defeats sin, picks her up, dusts her off, and dances with her again, restoring hope, okay? And I had, so this skit was something that was popularly done in New Philly, especially for our mission trip. We did this all the time. And for one of our India missions, I had the privilege of going to India with a team full of leaders. And during one of our revival services, there was a man, after we had performed the skit and during ministry time, there was a man that like ran up to the stage and he just started breaking down. He was on his knees, he was crying, and we didn't know why he was crying. We were like, oh, maybe God touched him during the sermon, you know, or like, oh, he was touched by the praise, okay? Or somebody must have prayed for him, right? But towards the end, after everything was said and done, we got someone to translate what was going on, and pretty much the man said it was the skit. He was like, I saw myself in that girl in the skit, okay? I was just like that girl. I was pulled away, and I was so torn. I was so dragged into this place of hopelessness that I couldn't see any hope until I saw that skit, and I saw that Jesus is the hope, right? And for this man, it wasn't the sermon. It wasn't the praise. It wasn't any prayer. It was a skit. God put the words in this book in the form of a skit so that it would be meaningful for this man, okay? So like the arts, it's really, really powerful, okay? A 7-minute skit did that for a man, changed him, transformed him. You know, it didn't take a 40-minute sermon or like a 30-minute long praise. It just took 7 minutes of just watching this one skit to bring transformation, okay? All right. So the arts, very, very powerful. Okay? Now, this one is my personal favorite. Okay? It's music. God loves to use music to talk to me. And for me, nothing says it like a song. And as a teacher, this was one of my favorite teaching strategies. If my kid didn't know how to learn something, I would put it in a song. If I had a difficult grammar lesson, I would put it in a song. It was a long spelling word, put it in a song. Okay, complicating story, put the plot into a song. And then your kid will magically remember. Okay, it's wonderful the kind of power that music has, right? And I believe God, music is a gift that God has created for his people, okay? And for me, it's been something that's been used many, many times in my life. And like when I think about it, I'm really bad at memorizing verses, like Bible verses. But you know which one I won't forget? Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me, and cast me not away. Okay. Okay. Anyways, why do I still remember that verse after years and years? Because it was put into a song. That those exact words were put into a song, and once I heard that song, it just doesn't leave. Even though you don't sing it every day, you can come back years later and you still remember. Okay? Same thing with like in class, I told you the same thing with field trips and stuff, but I don't remember a lot of things in class. Okay? But I can, like, the nitty-gritties of what my teacher would tell me and teach about. But you know what I do remember? The little nuances in songs. Like the little like trills and like how it goes up, how it echoes in the back, and like of all the NSYNC songs, you know? I always remember that. No matter how many years pass, I can still sing it verbatim. And no, I'm not going to sing NSYNC. Yeah. I will not sing NSYNC for you guys. Okay? But I will sing another song for you guys. Okay, I wanted to try something a little bit new. And so I was just going to show you a video or make you listen to it on the speakers, but I decided to go live. Be really vulnerable, throw myself out there. And so, yeah, so special guest Kevin will be helping me. Okay. All right. Oh, I'm getting so vulnerable with you guys. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so while Kevin is setting up, I just wanted to say one thing. You know, God knows I love music, so what better way to teach me than through music, okay? And I will say God has definitely used Christian music in my life to transform me and really bring clarity into the things of God and of His Word. But at the same time, there were moments where secular music even spoke to my heart, you know? And that definitely takes maturity, it takes discernment, right? And it takes having a relationship with God, obviously. But so one of the songs that I'm going to share with you, it's a song that's very special to me because God spoke to me very, very powerfully through this song. I'm only going to sing you one verse. Okay. All right. So yeah. Whenever you're ready. Oh my gosh.
The words I want to hear from you. It's not that I want you not to say, but if you only knew how easy it would be to show me how you feel. More than words is all you have to do to make it real. Then you wouldn't have to say that you love me, 'cause I'd already know.
Thank you. Oh, wow. I got so vulnerable with you guys right there. I feel like you know everything about me now. Oh, man. Okay. All right. Here we go. So this song, as I told you before, it spoke very, very powerfully to me. And this is a song originally by a group called Extreme, called More Than Words. It's not originally by Westlife. It's by Extreme. Okay? And so this song actually came to me in a season during my fourth year of uni when pretty much I became a professional at telling God how much I love him with my words and just with my words. And that's all I would say to God every day. God, I love you. Oh, I love you so much. Yeah, I love you. You know I love you. But I would never back it up with any action, okay? And so the season, it was definitely a rough season in my life, and I was just tired of doing things for God, and I was tired of pretty much like, I was also just, I also thought that God would still love me even though I didn't do anything for him, okay? This was a season that I was going through, and I've listened to this song so many times before, but one day I was sitting in my room, and I was just listening to music, like I generally do in my free time. Just listening to music, and then all of a sudden this song comes on, and I get one of those like heart-wrenching like convictions, and I start like bending over. I'm like, what's going on? And I felt like God was telling me, hey, Semi, more than words, please. Like, I know you love me. I know you do. But actions speak louder than words, okay? Show me that you love me again. Okay, stop just telling me with empty words. Start telling me again. You know, and it was through this song that God actually spoke to me that verse, 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth, right? And even till this day, it's really hard for me to forget the lesson that God taught me through that word. Okay? And there's actually a lot of other songs that God used to speak to me. I just wanted to share this one with you guys. Now, on to, so we went through what, field trips, we went through experienced learners, we went through the arts, and the last one, I couldn't quite put it into a category, so I called it the grab bag. Okay, now teachers have these things called grab bags, and the grab bag has like an assortment of all these like fun little toys and things that kids can pull out of and play with. Okay, and so this one I just couldn't put into category, so that's what I called it. And what I want to say is teaching encompasses lots of different things. It's not just about teaching you something new. Sometimes teaching means to remind you of something that you had already learned in the past. Sometimes it's to build upon something that you already know. Sometimes it's to bring more clarity and to bring more understanding in some things. And the last kind of teaching is the straight up commanding, like just do it and you will learn later. Okay. And the last example that I want to share with you guys, it's actually that, okay, where God just told me, hey, just do it and see what happens. Okay. And so you guys might remember me sharing with you guys about my great enemy, my father. Okay. And this person was my enemy for a very, very long time. And after he left the family when I was in my high school, my second year or third year of high school, I pretty much forgot about him. And I said, okay, this is for the better. Okay, that's what I said. And I pretty much lived without him for a couple of years. And then I went to uni. And during my first year of uni, I got saved. I met Jesus. And everything was blissful, that honeymoon phase. Everything was la-la land for us. And so I loved like listening to like praise music. I loved like reading his word, even though I didn't understand 90% of it. And I loved just like being in his presence. I loved all of that. Everything was good, okay? But then, about 3 months or a few months in, I hit this wall with God. And I'm like, okay, what's going on, God? Can you tell me why you're not talking to me? What's going on? Or why can't I hear you anymore? Or why are you not speaking to me through anything anymore? And he did answer. He answered very quickly, actually. He started sending a lot of other experienced learners sharing with me on their stories of forgiveness. And I was like, I know where this is going. I don't like where this is going. Okay, I don't like this at all. And then he would even start playing like other music about forgiveness. And I was like, oh, man, this is, nope, not working. Yeah, not working. nothing was working. Everything that God was trying to use to teach me on forgiveness and teach me to forgive my own father wasn't really working, even my favorite music, okay? And so God did what he had to do. He pulled something out of his grab bag, okay? Now, I was on my way to the retreat, my first retreat ever, and on my way, we stopped by a gas station called Sheets, okay? And in this gas station, they have my favorite, like, carbonated drink. It's called Jones Cream Soda, okay? I don't know if you guys know this, but it's one of my favorite drinks in the world, and I hadn't had it for a really long time until I came to Virginia, because I used to live in New York, and then I moved to Virginia. And so I went straight to the back because I knew where it was. I got the drink, and then I went back to the car. And then on these, like, on the Jones bottle caps, there's generally a message. There's a message. They have, like, cute little fortune cookie messages, like, you will live long and prosper. Or things like, what else do they have? Like, oh, you will marry and have a wonderful family. You know, they have fortune cookie messages on these things generally. And so, like, I was like, ooh, okay, I wonder what it's saying to me now. And so I was opening it, I was drinking, and all of a sudden I read it. And you would not believe what it said on that bottle cap. Actually, not those exact words. It said, talk to your father. Yeah, it literally said those four words. Talk to your father. And then by the point I was getting chills, I was like, God? You know, God? So it wasn't even like a teaching thing. He was straight up commanding me. He was like, this is how I'm going to teach you. You just go and do it. You need to talk to your dad. You need to forgive your dad for what he did. And so I went to the retreat. And because that was so powerful for me, that little bottle cap, I went to the retreat. I did all my crying out and, you know, I cried. I was, you know, I was bawling and all that stuff. And I forgave my dad. And I took it a step further by contacting him after the retreat. And I emailed him. I found out his email somehow. And I emailed him telling him everything that he's done wrong to me. This is a list of all the things that you've done to hurt me in my life. Okay? But I forgive you. Because I did all these things in my life. And God forgave me. He took it away and he completely gave me a blank slate. Okay, he forgave me. And so in that way, I'm going to forgive you. And what happened was afterwards is that my dad, he actually emailed back, which surprised me because I didn't think that he would respond. But he started apologizing and saying, hey, I'm really sorry for the way that I acted towards you. And he said, I should have been the one to say sorry first, but I didn't approach you. Okay. And so it was really, really beautiful, and I cried a lot after that as well. And we had a lot of reconciliation. Now, fast forward to now, my relationship with my dad may not be perfect. It's not like, you know, the picturesque father-daughter, you know, hold hands and run around in fields and stuff like that, you know. But it's much better than what it used to be before, because at least there's reconciliation. You know, at least there was forgiveness. You know, and I'll be honest, I will never forget the day God used a bottle cap to teach me a lesson on forgiveness, right? And that was really, really meaningful for me, okay? All right, so what I share with you guys today were just some of the ways that God will teach you and how he will make learning meaningful for you, okay? And it might not look the same for you guys as it did for me, because I think every one of us is unique, and he's got a special way that he wants to speak to you, a special way that he wants to teach you things about his word that can be confusing many times, okay? And so I just want to say that and put out there that God is a good teacher who is going to teach you. You know, he will go the lengths, he will go the distance to get you to see and hear more of him, like, pretty much in your everyday life, wherever you go, okay? Whether it's in his creation, whether it's through other people, whether it's through song, whether it's through movies, whatever it may be, God's going to use what he can to get to you, okay? And but one thing I don't want you guys to ever forget, this is the most important part, okay? No matter where you, what you feel like God is teaching you through these different facets, especially when it comes to the cultural things like music and movies and the world, okay, you really have to have discernment, okay? You and it must align with the Word of God. Okay, all of these lessons that I learned through all of these different facets, it always aligned with the Word of God and His truths and His love. Okay, and God, because He's a good teacher, He will never ever stray away from His curriculum. Okay, this is His curriculum. He's going to teach out of it, and this is what He's going to stick to. Okay, and so I guess preachers do this, but they like to exhort their members after their sermon. So I will exhort you guys. What I want to exhort you guys in is that, as a good teacher knows, like good teachers, we also want good students, okay? And you know, God is the great teacher, and pretty much all of you guys are His students. The earth is His classroom, okay? And so, yeah, that was really big. All right, so you can write that down. But anyways, good teachers want you to pay attention, okay? They want you to pay attention with your eyes. They want you to pay attention with your ears, your body, the body language, every part of you. He wants you to pay attention because He is actually teaching you something every day. But sometimes a lot of us are just unaware of exactly what it might be, okay? And so I'm going to exhort you guys to ask the Holy Spirit to make you more alert and attentive to what God is teaching you every single day. Ask Him, because He will reveal those things to you. And just start listening for His voice in everything around you, because God will make your learning very, very meaningful. Amen. Let's pray, guys. Let's pray. All right. I'll pray on the side. Okay. All right, Father, I just want to thank You so much for today. And I want to thank You, God, that You are a good teacher. And You're just really out to teach us more of Your Word. And yeah, even when this Word doesn't make sense, God, we just ask that You would help us to make sense of it through the different things, that different teaching strategies that You have for us. And so, God, I want to thank You that You made each and every single person in this room so unique and so special, and that You're going to speak to them in very special ways, amen, in ways that only You can speak to them. And so, God, I pray that You would open up their hearts, open up their eyes, and open up their ears, and may they start becoming better students to the good teacher, because You're teaching them something every single day. You're teaching them about Your love. You're teaching them about Your goodness. You're teaching them about who they are in You. And so, God, I thank You so much for the lessons that You're going to create for each person, yes, and for the stories that I'm going to hear through other experienced learners here in this place. And so, God, we love You, we bless You, we honor You, and yeah, everything is all for You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.